Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough. Keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. And tonight we have, I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to interview visionary success strategist Jeanine Just, who's author and founder director of Visionaries University. She's an entrepreneur's advocate, a highly respected inspirational speaker. And Jeanine, are you there?
I sure am. excited to be here, too.
And I'm really looking forward to asking you more about your university programs, what you've been doing, how you look at this economic situation, and how we're going to move from breakdown to breakthrough.
Great. It's about time, don't we think?
Yeah. Jeez. Interesting times.
That's for sure.
I was reading your material about some of your programs that you do. And I really like the way you position this informed choice perspective on our financial future and how we see things. And it got me thinking about how some people see the problem with every opportunity and other people see the opportunity with every problem. And how you position the concept of money, wealth, capitalism, obsession with materiality and making a living, etc., have to be reconceptualized because they're throwing nature as out of balance as our national debts.
Yeah, somehow they're all connected, huh?
They're all connected. And, of course, how we position our consciousness with the opportunity rather than the problem, I guess, has a lot to do with it. But you have a concept that I was really fascinated with what you've been teaching in your seminars with the Equinomics. And I would love to hear more about that, how that works and what are kind of the keynotes to your this consciousness shift with this model of, I like your expression, independently
wealthy.
Yeah, to moving towards interdependently wealthy.
Yeah. Yeah, we all got that program pretty much that, you know, Darwinian thoughts about survival of the fittest and all that kind of thing. And we
yeah.
have to compete and, you know, everyone has to eke out everything and, you know, it's the truth is this is an abundant universe and there's been so many belief systems throughout time and there's a lot of people that want to believe right now that there's only so much room for so many people on this planet and some people are going to have to die and there's just it's just so interesting how people see things and I laugh sometimes. My father, wherever he's at, I hope he's listening tonight, but he used to call me a smartass. And that used to really hurt when I was young.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that because even though I was raised very much as a conformist, raised in the Midwest and German and Lutheran and all those kinds of things, for some whatever reason, I just simply couldn't accept what people would say. I'd ask these big questions like, well, why? And
yeah, like it's bad to be a wise guy.
Yeah, but, you know, somehow if they would just tell me, I would be okay, you know, but don't just expect me to believe something because you do.
Yeah.
So what's really been interesting is everybody's life is really, really... I think people are just amazingly heroic, what we live through, the challenges we experience. And if our listeners are out there, I want them to really open their ears and hear this, and that is that our experiences are so valuable. Don't let anybody tell you that you need a college education and that your experiences don't mean anything. Nobody knows anything until they actually have had a direct experience of it.
Yeah.
And to invalidate so many people's lives by saying that the skills that you learn to transcend a divorce or, you know, the things that a person has had to deal with because a child was autistic and whatever they are, that has great value. And it just bugs me when people's lives are invalidated, like, well, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But getting back to what you're saying about Equinomics, I didn't make that word up myself. In 1990, I was going through a period of time, and I suppose lots of people do, but for about a year and a half or 2 years, like 88 to 90, I just kept pleading to be taken off this planet. I just felt we weren't going to
make
it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have had that feeling.
And I just thought, you know, we're not making it. This is really ridiculous. It's too hard. And let me out of here. And several friends exited instead of me and then left me here. But it was during one of those really tough times that a friend gave me a stack of manuscripts, and they were by written by a woman named Catherine Chardon. She's currently living in Northern California, and at that time she was in San Diego, and she's kind of like an Einstein. She took this information straight from the universe and gave us this system called that her whole research project was called the Eden, E-D-E-N project. And she did this for, like, I don't know, 40, 50 years, whatever it was. But the part that I was introduced to is called the science of evology.
Evology,
E-V-O-L-O-G-Y.
Like evolving.
And
yeah.
So it's a blueprint for consciously evolving ourselves. We become our own guru. We set up our own success strategies based on where we are in our own personal evolution, not on the collective evolution. And
so how to become self-conscious in a positive way.
Exactly. But it's also a way to access your inner mastery and to develop a sacred life, sacred work, sacred relationships, a sacred relationship with money. And it just puts people in a state of empowerment, because if we can't see a blueprint, we're like out there, like I sit here at now looking out at the ocean. You know, if you don't have some kind of a compass or something out there, it's pretty much of a...
the direction is lost.
So when people can see, okay, fine, I'm in level 4 predominantly, and what do I need to do? What does life look like? What's my curriculum? And people can design their own success curriculum. And when the movie The Secret came out, I just got like, oh my God, here we go again, you know, sending people down that materiality path rather than their own soul's path. So Equinomics is a part of this, and there's personal Equinomics and collective Equinomics. And what I like about this whole concept is that instead of money being a thing we can put in the bank, a thing we can share with one another, money is really a consciousness.
Yeah.
And so what I see going on...
I call it the currency of conscience.
Yeah. So what I see going on right now is really exciting to me, and I know that people are taking an economic bath all over the place, and I know a lot of it is manufactured by certain people who appreciate, you know, I've been seeing, like, people taking a blackjack table, you know, and taking all of their winnings into them.
Yeah.
But
win-lose versus win-win.
Right. So what I'm seeing is that... consciousness has expanded. And so the consciousness, and this is one of the things that Catherine had shared with me, and she showed me how socialism as a monetary system, let's say if you were going to do a stair step, that would be the first step, and then take a big leap, a couple big stairs, and the next one was communism. The next one was capitalism, and the next one is Equinomics. But it's an expanded range of consciousness. So what you were saying in your intro, which I really, really loved, is that, you know, a shift has happened. And this new reality is here. And people are pointing their finger at the real estate loans or whatever that is, that's just a minute.
It's off track.
Yeah, because this is a shift in consciousness. And to me, all of this just said that the systems had to bust because they can't be held together in consciousness. And isn't this exciting?
It's the old divide and conquer, hit the wall, we're all connected.
Mm-hmm. So there's my daughter's significant other has a recording studio up in Mendocino, and you know, you lay down tracks when you're recording, have a recording studio, and somehow it comes out all on in one. You know, I think it's like magic.
It is like magic.
So, but there are multiple tracks going on right now, and each person, each listener, we have to make our own individual choices moment by moment for how we're going to create our own reality. And
I'm fascinated with that, how each individual's stream of consciousness is inadvertently connected with the collective consciousness, and there's just always this input feedback relationship between the individual and the collective. And as the veil thins, or this, you know, this sense of, you know, you might say, all connected conscience becomes more of a prevailing awareness, people can't help but realize that what they do to others is what they do to themselves.
Yeah.
And that makes it almost impossible for business as usual, or the economy as it was, mm-hmm. which was, I call it they call it scarcity economics. And you know, the whole essence of scarcity economics is the oxymoronic value of scarcity. You know, mm-hmm. there's not an, which is back to the Malthusian, there's not enough to go around, so you know, everyone's looking to get theirs, and who cares about the other guy. But that whole model has succeeded to the point where, you know, gross defects are obscuring actual gains. I mean, you know, what it's done to the planet, to the healthcare system, to the...
Well, we monetized everything.
Yeah.
Including death. You know, look at how much people spend. They should be, in my way of thinking, I think we should be doing conscious deathing. I think that people should be very involved in this process and do it at home, and not just send their loved one off to the call 911 and have them sent from there to some kind of a rehab center, and then go meet up with them, you know, a week later or 2 weeks later or whatever at the morgue and do a funeral. I think that is like archaic.
Yeah, it's like the healthcare system where 40% of the public, you know, spends their last months in a hospital with their life savings siphoned off, and there's no compassionate hospice to it. You know, and when I say that, you know, it's just the system is, it's like the healthcare system is, what is it, 97.5% disease care, where it's more profitable to make money off of disease than... I mean, that's just one example.
Yeah, and I just ask people to be really clear about their words. When people say they have health insurance, I said, really? Where did you get that? You know, I got health insurance. I was on a deathbed. I'm 50, what year are we here? I guess I'm 58? Yeah, 58 right now. And when I was 30, I was on a deathbed, and I had to, you know, take responsibility for my health and well-being, and I had to learn about a lot of things, and I decided that I wasn't going to invest in insurance anymore. I was going to invest only in things that brought me health.
Health assurance rather than health insurance.
Oh, that's really good.
I've developed health assurance policies with 3 holistic health centers I've had.
But that's a consciousness, you know? And so what we're really in with all of this is just a major shift in consciousness. But a lot of people don't even want to hear that word. You know, for many years I've had to language it and call it a mindset.
Yeah.
Because they you know, consciousness, you and I might throw it around like it's an everyday word, but a lot of people don't have a clue what we're really talking about.
Yeah, it's like when you talk about the economics of abundance, and people have got economics of scarcity so ingrained in their mindset that it just doesn't compute what you're talking what you're talking about.
Well, the paradigm shift that I teach also with the Equinomics, it's called the law of regenerative supply, and it's where we
I like that.
It is a spiritual law. And so we were living in ego, corruption, deception, and the shift is to honesty, integrity, natural laws, and heart power. So if people don't think that integrity counts, they better think again, because there's a physics, as you know, for how things work.
In every action, there's an opposite equal reaction.
Yeah.
We reap what we sow. What goes around comes around.
Yeah. So, you know, our success strategies and our decisions and actions really now need to support the highest good of all. And so the institutions, which means business, government, politics, banking, economics, religion, media, education, medicine, the science, the whole bit, has to function with greater integrity. And people have been asking me here in the last couple of months, because when this whole thing came down, this, I call it the storm.
The economic storm.
Yeah. It just put a lot of people into a place of fear and terror, but it was a wake-up call, and to get back to what's real. And so I listened to lots of my clients and friends, and they were talking about, you know, all kinds of losses that they had, whether it was their retirement money or whether it was actual, you know, cash or their homes or whatever. And I didn't quite understand what was happening at first, but since I deal with most things from an energetic place and a spiritual understanding, I just was looking at the energy of this whole thing, and I kept being reminded of something that I've said for years, but I hadn't said in a long time, and that was, you keep blowing air in a balloon, it's going to pop.
Yeah, the bubbles burst.
And
a lot of it's the bubble of, well, I call it materialistic security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
so where would you have people look for their security?
Well, there's no security without purity, and that really is the purity of heart. You know, really is the currency of conscience. And how to make that currency an exchange medium is, there's ways of looking at it. You know, of course, it's from the top down in the four lower bodies, the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical bodies. And in institutions, it's like government, education, healthcare, and the physical economy. In other words, there's a the way to center and connect the heart-centric virtues. And I look at that whole thrust of what is the heart of civilization, and with the communications media, which is like the nervous system, and what is the key on a real-time basis in our social networks, you know, the instant everywhere interactive networks. And the key, really, I really believe that this instant everywhere interactive internet is like the gateway of consciousness, and how we interface with the collective consciousness on a moment-to-moment basis. In our social networks now, there's all this interactive stuff going on, but there's no interactive interface that can handle 100 or 1,000, 1,000,000 people responding to the same, you know, information at the same time without creating noise. And there's a technique where, individually, where a person is centered and connected, you might say, to that philosophic, harmonious, calm, like the center of a hurricane. You know, it's like that all-seeing eye at the center of the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that philosophic centering individually, there's a way to do that in social networks and communication networks that would be possible with an interactive interface. Now, this is a concept that's as foreign to most people as the internet was before it happened. And if you talked about, you know, what the internet was going to, you know, before the internet, if you talked about the concept of the internet and what it would be and how it would change the world, people would say you were crazy.
Right.
But the technology is to the point now where the nervous system of humanity is really afraid. And largely what we have with the media, it's one-way centralized mass distribution of information, you know, programming with no feedback. And all living organisms have a two-way nervous system. Well, the Internet has the capability for interactive, you know, interaction, and it is accelerating change at a rate that's just beyond what most people can, you know, the information overload is so great that most people are just really burdened with cultural shock, you know, information shock. There's just too much information. That's one of the most popular expressions, is, you know, that's more information than I want to hear, kind of thing. But at the same time, there is a principle of homeostasis and healing. You know, the whole body will self-regulate with feedback mechanisms, you know, like, the nerve, you know, the body will let you know. Well, like pain is really a feedback mechanism. Of course,
right.
There's so much pain in the system right now. People are numb from just the bad, all the bad information. And I think there's nothing more healing than a vision of homeostasis, of checks and balances, and how that could work in the system. And largely the principle is, I mean, metaphorically speaking, you know, the Bill of Rights, the core constitutional principles were principles now with the Internet, you know, like freedom of assembly, which is like in a global village, and social networks, and freedom of speech, which is not just origination of programs, but it's evaluation of programs. And, of course, it comes back to that evaluation criteria. If there's not a moral compass, you know, if there's not the currency of conscience in the system, if it's just a one-way programming system with no feedback, then everything blocks up. I call it psychic constipation. But how to open the flows, you know, and with checks and balances that come back to the currency of conscience rather than the currency of one-way, this is the way it is from the top down and no feedback. Of course, that's what we're seeing now with the economy. This is kind of a blowout of the whole system being a command and control system with centralized, highly centralized, top down, you know, control rather than what's best for all, the highest and best of by and for the people. And it had to come to this, you know.
Well, my goal with people is to truly empower them. And to me, there's three primary commodities: time, energy, and money. And time, of course, has been calculated in ways that aren't real. You know, the time-space reality of third dimension is morphing, and it's very hard for people. Is you know, I think a lot of the dementia and Alzheimer's is just because those folks have
they're checking out of time,
floating back and forth. I call it, when people say that they're having a senior moment, I go, how about a multidimensional merge? You know, and they go, what? You know, but I really believe it, you know. But I have a question for you, and that is, the Internet and all of this has been like a metaphor for
the Internet,
for all of us.
Yeah.
But in listening to you, I'm wondering, if is the next step just going back to, you know, what we were able to do at one time, which is telepathy without all of this technology?
Well, that's a good point, and I think the natural trajectory of the net reality Internet phenomena with this instant everywhere interactive, you know, all connectedness, the natural trajectory is there is no time or space.
Right.
So what people call ESP is really effective sensory perception. It's not extra. There's nothing extra about it when you have it. It's like experience, you know.
Hey, what planet did you come from?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I should talk about it on the air.
Well, then you probably shouldn't.
Well, you know, I had an experience I mean, this is my experience, and it's difficult to talk about it because it doesn't compute in a sense, but I had a classic case of, I guess, what the ancients called cosmic consciousness, but I did have a classic case where I transcended dimensions and saw into the past and future and anything.
Was that because of ayahuasca, or?
Well, this was a combination of, you know, I call it the prayer of desire that's not seldom the prelude of the revelation. It was an intense, it was back to the intense, and it was kind of a near-death experience. It was on the heels of that. And a lot of people, when they have a near-death experience, you know, what life is, you know, in their consciousness gets a major wake-up call.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was that type of experience where gifts of the Holy Spirit, I mean, I was knowing what people were going to say before they said it. I was seeing auras around people and all this kind of stuff. I just knew there was a lot more, and I really delved into the mysteries of God like it was my life depended on it, because that's where I was at. And to understand, this was, 30 years ago, but to understand, and in the process, I've seen, from that perspective, I've seen how the evolutionary trajectory of consciousness is going in that direction of less becoming more. And we saw that in the computer internet revolution with hardware, which was IBM, big mainframe computers, to software with personal computers on your desktop that had the power of a mainframe computer. And again, computers are a metaphor for the brain, you know. And then it became, the next big thing after that was the internet, where the computer became the network of computers. And the next big thing, if you take this natural evolutionary trajectory, which is like the computer and the nervous system of humanity, is that the network becomes conscious. So the language of conscience, or language of consciousness, and, you know, for effective sensory perception, or I like to think of ESP in terms of enlightened sensory perception, you know, that it just makes sense that this is where it's going, and less is becoming more, in the sense that the hardware, software, network thing, and then what I call heartware, the language of the heart, the education of the heart, becomes the interface for out there. So this inner sense, which is the heart of innocence. So when I say there's no security without purity, it's the inner sense that's the heart of innocence. And this inner sense, as it becomes, you might say, all connected, there is no space or time, just like with the internet now. And so the technology has been, you know, an outpicturing of what's been within us.
So what I'm seeing is that it's kind of like training wheels, but we're going to be able here soon to take off our training wheels and communicate telepathically, transport ourselves.
Exactly.
You know.
And we're seeing that with the Indigo children coming in, and they're already wired with more strands of DNA, and they're doing this stuff. It's amazing. They're like the forerunners, or, you know. And again, then it comes back to, well, how do the rest of us, you know, get with the program?
Well, I keep saying it's time for the strong to support the strong, because I teach people how to play in the fields of consciousness consciously. My work is very practical. People generally come to me and have for 25 years who have got business, financial, career, job, work issues.
Right.
And so I take these spiritual principles and universal laws into the business world in very practical ways and in language that a lot of people can hear it.
Yeah.
And there's, I guess the thing that I run up against the most is people who have been downloaded with that 3D, five-sense reality program of what success is.
Yeah.
And so much of my commitment here for all of these years has been to reinvent success. And to get people out of their trance, I call it transformation, T-R-A-N-C-E, formation.
I like that.
Because we are multidimensional beings, and we are so much more than we've allowed ourselves to be, and there's a lot of stuff I find in people where the programs are just all, you know, jumbled up inside. There's the old programs, the new programs, and it's like, you know, sometimes you just have to take your computer and clean the whole thing off
and reboot it.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of people are right now. But for those that are listening, as you were saying about the heart, there's just so much that I've had to learn kind of the hard way, because my heart was very, 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 very closed for a long time. And because of some significant events in my life, I had to consciously take the bars off my heart one at a time. So if you see like a heart with just jail bars over it with, you know, eyes peeking out, that was me.
Yeah.
And little bit by little bit, I just very consciously decided I'm taking those bars off. And it's been so interesting, because our real power is heart power. And because I'm a woman, because I've been teaching lots of things in the corporate arena where they say, get out of here with your touchy-feely stuff.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine that. That would be a tough nut to crack.
Well, but you know what? I just go, look, at heart power is not wimpy.
Yeah.
And I begin to explain heart speak, and I explain the energetics and how, you know, for 500 years we've lived in the intellect and worship science, and so we have this on our shoulders instead of just the head the size of whatever it is. It's like 10 times that size, because we've put so much energy into that intellect and science and hardcore figure this out and that out. But then if you follow that energy down through the throat into the heart itself, it's just like a little tiny thread, but I see it then at the like at the waist. It begins in the tribal part of our physical body energy. It's a huge, again, energy in you know, our lower chakras.
Right.
So what I work on with people is getting them out of their heads and opening up their heart centers. And there's no fear in our hearts. Fear is always in the intellect, ego, personality, self. And so right now, as all of these things are crashing around people's...
And in the desire body of the solar plexus.
Yes, exactly. What I find, it's there's some things that each of us can do that don't cost any money, but they do take some... conscious attention, and one of them is to activate our whole heart center. Now, Heart Math Institute has done wonderful.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite organizations.
Really?
Modeling. Oh yeah, what they've done with HeartLink, the biofeedback with with the heart.
And you see, once they decided with all of their research that the heart had its own brain.
Yeah.
And
that's
then
that's amazing. It just
feeds the information up through the spinal column to our brain. So in America, we've got two primary illnesses, and it, for a long time, heart stuff was number one. I'm not sure where it's at right now, but it goes back and forth between heart and cancer. And but to me, the heart stuff is an energetic problem, and people can have, you know, their veins cleaned out, and they can have all kinds of new things put in, but unless they open up the energy of it, it isn't going to make much difference in the long run.
That's right. Like, it's like chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yeah.
It's
calling your spirit back into one's body. So what I would like to do for our listeners is to give them a very, very simple technique that I do a lot, and depending on what's going on. And when I say what's going on, between Ventura, California and San Diego, and I'm halfway in between, there's roughly 23 million people.
Wow.
Now, what's been going on down here is really making people very sick. There's all kinds of head colds. There's all kinds of
respiratory illness,
insomnia, all kinds of things going on. And people are just so tired over the last, 6 to 8 weeks. And to me, a lot of that is because all these people's thought forms are their fear thought forms are getting into our own vibrational field. And so what I would I just want to kind of just give an example for our listeners. If they just take their hands and put them on their heart and their solar plexus and then take a deep breath in through their mouth or their nose, it doesn't make any difference to me. And then when one exhales, exhale so that you put your attention on your rib cage as it's contracting and contracting and contracting, and so you can feel your hands move in and out as the breath goes in and out. And so taking a breath in, I usually count one on the inhale, two on the exhale, and just pay attention only not to the where we're breathing in through our nose, but breathing in through the heart center. And when people do this, they ground themselves, center themselves, and they activate the wisdom center of their whole being, because there's no wisdom in the intellect. And there is fear in the intellect, but there's no fear in the heart. So if someone were to wake up in the morning or at one point in their day just feel really what I call cattywampus, I just ask them to sit down or lay down and breathe in and then breathe out, but keep the focus on the rib cage and the belly, stomach area expanding and contracts, expand and contract. And what that does then is it moves the focus to that heart center of
energetically. Yeah,
exactly. And so what happens is people just feel better.
It's called paying attention with pure intention.
There you go.
For the ascension.
So this has to be done. And
that's a great exercise. It just centers energetic attention to that area.
Yes.
And
if we were going to try and teeter totter as an example, and you can't teeter totter from the end of the board. You have to have the fulcrum point at the middle of the board.
Right.
And so what's been happening is, in our own bodies, we're so imbalanced with so much attention put to either, our heads or stuck in the global tribal family in the lower chakras that we can't access the heart. And so what I'm finding interesting is if you look at money and the heart chakra, they're both green. And what I believe is that when we activate the heart center, we will activate bringing in the new money consciousness. And Patricia Cota Robles, do you know who she is?
Oh, yes. I
just love Patricia. I have her
stuff
on a link on my website. I've known her for years, and I just love her dedication and commitment. But there was a group of us in November of 2003 that gathered here in Irvine. And I don't know if there was 300 or 500 in the room that day, but it was a time that was referred to as the harmonic concordance. And it was at that time that the abundance, the new abundance paradigm was anchored on planet Earth. And so we anchored it, well, now we're in 2008, that's 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so you were talking earlier about the scarcity poverty mindset. Well, that actually is only being held together because of people's thoughts between their ears.
Yeah.
The truth is the abundance paradigm is here. And recalibrating our vibration and removing those poverty scarcity programs. The new is here. The new paradigm is here.
And I think what's happening, it's reaching critical mass, and it's bringing up all unlike itself. And that's why those who are into owning and controlling the physical and human resources of humanity are trying to create fear, and which is ultimate scarcity, if you think about it, the creation and management of scarcity. Ultimate scarcity is fear, disease, death, and hell, and war,
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I think, an energy that is going collective. Well, we're going to call that a wrap. Janine, I'm really grateful that you were able to share as much as you did. I'd love to have you on the show again.
Well, we'll do it. We got lots of things to talk about.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, and bless you for all you're doing.
Thanks, Janine. Well, that's a wrap for Cosmic Love. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the Love Model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all. always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.